My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We're going to head down to Florida right now. This guy is a busy guy. He's got to get back to work, but Mets have the Cardinals coming up at 1 o'clock. He's Gary DeSarcina, the Mets third base coach and infield coach. And DeSar, how are you today?
Doing well. How you doing, Ed? Is Sweeney on here, too?
Yeah, buddy. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you. Hey, how's it going, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well. Hey, before I even ask you anything about the Mets, I just want to know how you're feeling. I know you had a run-in with COVID last year, but I think you bounced back all right out of that. You feeling okay?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, I think it took probably about 2 months, 3 months to get over it. You know, the fatigue and the lack of energy and the headaches. But it's crazy how that it affects everybody differently. And I think I was one of the lucky ones. I look back on my ordeal and I, you know, definitely one of the lucky ones to have, you know, symptoms, but mediocre symptoms. And I still think I have COVID brain sometimes with the poor memory. And I'm trying to figure out if it's because I'm getting old or if it's because of the COVID. But
yeah,
selective forgetful memory.
Yeah, I know. I have seen your moments too, DeSar, and yeah,
that's a good excuse. I'm like
yeah,
it.
I know the fog that comes up. Well, don't be a long hauler. Or hopefully that you don't want to get into that. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about defense. Obviously, you've been working hard with JD and a lot of the guys at third base, and there have been struggles. VR had his struggles last night at third, but let's start with JD and where he is right now. I know positioning has been a big thing for him. What's his status right now?
JD's in a good place, I think, overall, and I think one of the biggest reasons is for it is coming into camp and being at one position instead of having to multitask, do left field, right field. When we first got him, he even did first base. So I think mentally he's in a great place. His work has been really good. For him, it's the nuances of the position. It's, you know, for me, looking out, sometimes he looks like he's walking around a little bit lost sometimes with his position. And this is last year. So we sat down with the analytical department to kind of address that and figure out a better, you know, landmarks for him and a better place to be. He gets, you know, sometimes lost when there's a runner on third and above average runner on third and we're in the shift or we're in heavy pull. And those little nuances of the position, he's learning somewhat on the fly, but his work fundamentally has been very good. He's got a good little package of drills he does before each day, before each work session. You know, we do some live flip fungos, so he gets the game speed and, you know, the top spinners and the hard rockets at him down at third base. You know, his throwing is one of his strengths. He has a above average arm, so once he gets that ball in his hands, you're pretty much out. the problem is, you know, just getting his footwork down, getting his fundamentals, you know, repeated. And I think that's where, you know, we're at with 2-3 weeks into camp, and he's got a good routine going right now, and he's got a pretty darn good shortstop on his left. So if he needs any help or any advice as we go, you know, Francisco's like a coach out there as well. So JD's in a good place. I think confidence, as you know, confidence is a big thing too. So once he gets his confidence level up, he's going to be fine.
I was going to ask you on the shifts, like how has he adapted to basically becoming a second baseman on that shift when he's over there and footwork and that kind of thing, that those angles?
Yeah, so we've adjusted that over the last week. You know, we sat down with the analytical department. You know, Zach Scott's our new acting GM, and he's come over from the R&D department in Boston. And we sat down, and we're just trying to put our players in the best position. Our infield is in the best position. And with probably about 4, 5, 6 days ago, we made the adjustment of keeping our third baseman on the left side of the infield and moving Lindor over to the right side. So
gotcha. We've
somewhat taken that burden off JD or Guillorme or VR. They're playing third, and we've kept them on the left side. I think one of the things about having spring training games is you can experiment and you can practice things. You can just, you know, get guys comfortable in their positions. You don't want to put guys in positions where they're uncomfortable or where they feel that they can't make plays. So we took everything into account along with the analytical stuff, and we've decided to make an adjustment and keep our third baseman on the left side.
We're talking to Mets coach Gary DeSarcina, third base coach, also works with the infielders, Sweeney Murdy, Ed Coleman, Sunday morning here on The Fan. Gary, you mentioned Lindor as an extra coach on the field, and that's not the first time we've heard that description this spring. You got to work with some pretty good players early in their careers. You saw what young Mike Trout looked like. You saw what young Mookie Betts looked like. Two things. How does watching Lindor up close every day now for the last month compare to what you saw in those guys? And what are some other examples of him being a coach on the field?
Well, it's a great comparison between those two players. Obviously, they're elite players, but they bring a simple plan to the ballpark. You know, pretty basically they want to win and they want to have fun, and they come to work with a purpose. You know, being around Mookie, you know, for a full year, I think it was 2017, you know, he took ground balls at second base because he never wanted to be caught unexpected, you know, if John ever wanted to move him in there in an interleague game. You know, Mookie worked tirelessly on his hitting and had fun doing it. Mike Trout the same way. You know, they come to the ballpark to have fun. They understand that it's a game and it should be fun. You know, Francisco, I've seen him from the other side. I haven't seen a ton of him until this year, but I mean, this kid comes to the ballpark excited to just work, excited to play, excited to interact with his teammates, to have fun doing it. But when Lindor steps on the field, it's with a purpose. You know, you guys know Derek Jeter. He smiled a lot, and he had a lot of fun out there while he was kicking your ass. So I think it's good to have someone on your side with that mentality. Obviously, he has the talent, and you know, you guys have seen him over the last 4 or 5 years and what he could do at shortstop. But he brings a simple plan. It's not complicated, and that's what, you know, being around Mike Trout. I mean, that kid came to the ballpark just to win. And he enjoyed being around his teammates. He enjoyed goofing around with them, having fun with them. But when the bell rang, it was time to win a ball game. And I know even in spring training, you know, when it gets to time for those guys to be on the line to start stretching and get going, you know, at 12:45 for a day game, you can see that little switch go off in his face where it's focus. It's let's get this done. Even though it's spring training, it's about, you know, and Frankie said this a bunch to me, it's about building. Every day we're building. We're building towards the championship. And he's been a pleasure to be around. I know the other thing all three of those guys do is they hold other guys accountable. Mookie ran hard down the line. Mike runs hard down the line. Lindor runs hard down the line. They do all the little things that, you know, when I look back at my career and I'd watch Cal Ripken play, you know, if Cal Ripken's running hard down the line on a routine ground ball that he hits the shortstop, everybody on their team will do it. And that's what Lindor brings to a team, to a club, is if your best player on the team is doing something, you know, you damn straight better be doing it too, or he's going to go, and he's not shy. I know if you guys have ever talked to Francisco, he's not shy.
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
This kid wants to win, and he's not afraid to have, you know, uncomfortable conversations. And ultimately, all three of those guys not only hold their teammates accountable, but they hold their coaches accountable too. I can't just come into the ballpark and mail it in and come in with, you know, like, hey, they're just going to take ground balls today. Francisco's going to be like, what are we going to do today to get better? Yeah. What drill are we going to do to get today? You know, what's our goal? So he raises up everybody's level of, when they come to work, everyone's level of intensity and everyone's level of purpose. And Mookie did the same thing. And Mike did the same thing. I have not been with Frankie during a season, but I do know when he's sitting in the dugout and then those guys walked up to the batter's box and you guys have seen him enough, it's a pretty good feeling for you when you're in their dugout.
No question. And you can sense it from the other players too, which is a great thing. You know, the admiration they have for him, and you know he's quickly become a leader on this team. Gary, I know this probably didn't surprise you when you saw it, but Terry Francona said that Andrés Giménez will likely be his starting shortstop, and after watching him last year, I guess I can certainly understand why.
Not surprised at all. I had a long talk with Sandy Alomar regarding, you know, pretty much the three guys in the trade, that the two guys on my side, our side, going to him and Frankie coming here. And, you know, what I said to Sandy was, you know, play this guy, you know, play him every day, hit him ninth. He's going to save so many runs with his glove. And he's going to, you know, by the end of the year, he's going to be a pretty darn good major league hitter. You know, Giménez, it's tough to see him go. You know, it's really tough, I think. Yeah. So many times I'd watch him take ground balls, and he reminded me of Omar Vizquel, just as the way he went after balls, the way he, you know, made his throws to first base. It was just enough every time. Like, Omar always got you just enough, you know, just barely beat you. Mm-hmm. Internal clock and Giménez was outstanding. You know, his calmness, his presence. I know he's going to do great. I know, and I told Sandy, this kid's going to, in the end, he's going to be a, he's going to be an all-star player. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it with the bat like Lindor does, but he's going to run the bases well. He's got great instincts. You know, I'm a big fan of Giménez, and you know, he's grown a lot in this organization. And to get a player of Lindor's stature, you have to give something up. And I think in the end, both teams, you know, made out really well. You know, especially if our club can sign Lindor to an extension, then you know, gosh, we all work out well. And Rosario's another piece, you know, like I said to Sandy, I mean, his ceiling's high off, probably higher offensively than Giménez, mm-hmm. and can, yeah. you know, maybe bounce around now and be in different positions or go out to the outfield. And, you know, he's got elite speed, so he can be used in different ways now. And I think, like I said to Sandy, I said, you got two good kids. I put a lot of work in with Rosario. Our player development team put a lot of work in Giménez, and you know, you guys know when trades are made, it's not just because of the player. It's because of all the people who have helped them along the way. And our player development staff did a great job with, you know, Tim Tuffle and all the guys in player development did a great job with Andrés.
Gary DeSarcina, our guest. Listen, I know you got to get back to work, but I hope you have time to answer this one for me. You spend a lot of time putting guys in the right place on defense. And the minor leagues are experimenting with a few different rules this year. In Double-A, they're going to keep the infielders on the outfield, on the infield dirt until the pitch is released. And then they may experiment with keeping two on each side of the field, depending on how things go. It's all with the idea that this could be implemented in the big leagues at some point. Your thoughts?
Anything that could make this game more interesting for the young kids, obviously offense makes it interesting. Nobody who's young wants to come to a ballpark. You know, they want to see base hits, guys running around the bases. They don't want to be seeing strikeouts all the time with some, you know, mixing in some home runs. And I think any advancement of our game that can, help our fans become more interested, you know, 3.5-hour games are tough to watch. And whether it's because of the analytics of defense or whether it's because of the batter's box and the launch angle and all that stuff, whatever it is, however they can tweak the game and create more interest and get more people, you know, wanting to play the game. On the defensive side, for me, it's, I've always been a big fan of instincts mixed in with analytics. You know, you can't, for me, it's like I try not to live in extremes. I don't want to be too analytical, and I don't want to be too extreme with the instinct part of it. I want the blend. And if that means, you know, shifting guys, I think our team is, you know, we're on the bottom third of shifting, but when we do shift, we find out that it works. And, you know, that will stink if we can't be able to make an adjustment with, say, you know, Luke Voigt coming up to the plate or Sanchez coming up to the plate where we have to do 2-2. That's going to be tough for us. But I've always believed in the blend, and hopefully we can get to the point in this game where we get back to that good mix of both analytics, instincts, and, you know, maybe a hit and run every now and then. You know, that art is lost, I think.
Lord,
yeah, or... Well, we were just talking on the bench the other day about bunt for a hit. You know, we were up one run. DeGrom pitched the game the other night, and our staff was great against the Astros. We have a one-run lead in the seventh inning, and I could have played Drury on the left field foul pole, and not one of their guys even looked down a bunt. So I think, and that's not to say that the Astros don't bunt. It's just to say it's just where we are in the game of seeing the big picture and the global aspect of what makes this game interesting and fun. I think. So, you know, 2-2 on each side, you know, if that's going to be tweaked, I think that's what's great about the minor league system is you can try things out there. You know, we all ended up falling in love with the putting the man on second in the 10th inning. You know, it stops these 19-inning games where you got to use, you know, end up using position players to pitch. And that's tough. That's tough to take. You know, I know the traditionalists don't like it, but I think once we saw the results of it and how – it's actually pretty interesting with the strategy aspect of it.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I think everybody became enamored with, just like the wild card. You guys remember when the wild card first came in, everybody was like, oh my God, what is this? You know, and we were talking about, it's funny, we were talking about netting at the ballpark the other day. You know, when netting first came into the ballparks, everybody was like, oh my God, you can't have netting. There's not going to be any interactions with fans. And now I feel the ball at third base coaching box, and I can't even get the ball over the net to give it to a fan, and nobody cares. So you know how it is. You know, we all get used to it, and we'll make adjustments.
Oh, yeah, I think you hit it on the head, Gary. You know, the blend of analytics and instincts. You know, that's common sense to me, and that helps make it better. I know you got to run. I wanted to get 30 seconds on one guy, Guillorme, who seems comfortable in his own skin and is really kind of adapted to the role he has, and he seems like a different player almost.
Yeah, he's been killing his role as our, you know, as our shortstop, third base, second baseman. I mean, he's even pitched for us. One of the things I can say about Louis right off the bat is, you know, he works his butt off. He's out for early work every day. I've stopped going in to ask him. A year ago, I just said, Louis, I'm out here for you. So whenever you want to come out, come out. And the kid comes out every day. And there's days where I have to go to him and say, Louis, I need a day off today. I can't hit the singles. But he's a product of hard work. He's a baseball rat.
Good.
Doesn't have great range, but he has the instincts and the awareness, and he prepares for hitters, and he knows where to stand.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Hey, Gary, thanks very much for the time. Appreciate it.
And, all right, guys.
Get back to work, okay?
Thanks a lot. Say hi to your brother for me.
Right, I will. Appreciate it.
Okay, you got it. Thank you. Gary DeSarcina, thanks for the time here today. He's terrific. I think he hit it on the head, too, that you know, you've got to – find common ground, let's put it that way. And the blend between analytics, move, that's not going to go away. Instincts certainly aren't going to go away. So if you can get a blend and use common sense, you can make the game better and make the game more interesting and move forward, you know.
DJ LeMahieu kind of echoed a little bit of that yesterday when he, you know, Gary DeSarcina mentioned instincts, and LeMahieu talked about, you know, he'd be okay with, you know, not shifting, letting his athleticism take over and make the play.
Mm-hmm. Same, Lindor said the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly,
yeah.
And, you know, I guess when we talk to guys who are elite players, you know, that's not really the best example, because you got a lot of guys who can't do what Francisco Lindor and DJ LeMahieu can do. Right. And that's probably a lot of reasons why this is designed, why this has been in place. We're giving you information to help you make better plays. Go stand four steps over there, because that's where the ball is going to be hit, and you can't cover that ground fast enough if you're standing in your normal position. So, you know, we'll get into this a little bit. I had some thoughts on the on the rules and the defense and things like that.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell you, I want to thank, I got in touch with Gary last year, and we have a mutual friend, and he helped me get in touch with his brother, Glenn. And right around this time last year, shortly after, well, I mean, we got sent into lockdown, you know, a year ago. Mm-hmm. And about a month later is when The Last Dance came on Netflix, and we were watching
Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Michael Jordan, or it was on ESPN, now it's on Netflix. And Gary's brother Glenn was the starting shortstop for the Birmingham Barons in 1994 and spent an entire season riding the bus with Michael Jordan, riding the luxury bus with Michael Jordan throughout the Southern League the year that he decided to play baseball. And I did a podcast with Glenn DeSarcina a year ago, which is still one of my favorites, telling some great stories about, playing pickup ball with Jordan and losing his meal money for an entire road trip on a game of blackjack in the back of a bus. You know, a lot of great stories there. It's on an archive if you want to go pick it up on the 30 with Murdy podcast. But Gary's brother, Glenn, told some really good stories about it.
Don't play cards with Michael Jordan.
Big lesson. Yeah, not for real money. Do not do it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought it was, before we take a break, Swin, I thought it was very interesting what he had to say about, with the shifting with the Mets. Like,
they don't do it very much.
But they had moved JD, over to, the the second base spot. You know, they moved the third baseman over, leave the shortstop. But now, and Lindor is not a huge shift guy. He's not a huge fan of that. He wants his instincts. He understands that. He's a big analytics guy before the game. During the game, let me be me, as he said. But it's interesting that, they realized what they had, and that's probably the best way to go, is kind of leave JD over on that side of the field instead of shifting him over and shift the guy who can handle it a little bit better,
I don't know if we'll get a chance to watch much Double-A baseball this year, and I don't know if I'll have a chance to see how it works in action, but that's where they're going to be instituting these rules and experimenting with the defensive side of it and trying to figure it out. At Triple-A, they're using the bigger bases, and that has a different... I want to get into that with you a little bit and then kick some ideas around about that.
Okay.
And we'll get some calls on it too, 877-337-6666, and DeSar mentioned hit and runs, and I got a little tutorial on that a couple years ago that I think is kind of interesting for fans to maybe think about why you don't see it more often.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.